Good to be in the house of the Lord again this morning. It's a pleasure to be with you here and to worship together with you here. We are from the church there in Hocking Hills, Ohio, and our invitation would be that if any of you are in that area, that you would feel free to stop in and worship with us as well there. I want to say I appreciated the Sunday school lesson. I think of David as a very good example. And when we think of David living in the Old Testament, and he didn't have the Holy Spirit within, why, he becomes even more of a very good example to us. This morning we want to look at the subject I have is the need of forgiveness. If I would ask for a raise of hands here on how many like the thought of forgiveness, I would hope that all of them would go up. Because we as humans need forgiveness. We have, we've all done wrong. In fact, we were born in sin, and we needed God's forgiveness to be right with Him to start with. But as we're looking at forgiveness today, I want to look a little more, maybe not, we'll look some at God's forgiveness for us, but we want to look a little more at our forgiveness for others. Forgiveness in this way is a choice. It's a choice. Not, we don't forgive just when we feel like it. We need to forgive always. Forgiveness is something we must do if we're going to be forgiven and be a child of God. We have scriptures to back that up. You know, we're going to have to forgive others or God won't forgive us. Think of the meaning of forgiveness: a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or group who has harmed you, regardless of whether they deserve your forgiveness. I want to read that again. A conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or group who has harmed you, regardless of whether they deserve your forgiveness. And I think the last part of that is so important to us as Christians. It's regardless if they deserve our forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting, nor does it mean condoning or excusing offenses. We don't forget and just brush aside when somebody's done wrong necessarily. But in our minds, we forgive them. So when we think of that, we have to forgive if God will forgive us. What does the Bible say about God's forgiveness? You want to look at a few scriptures on that. One is in John 3, verse 16 and 17. And it says there, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Think of what God did here. He took His only begotten Son, and He sent Him into this world for your and my forgiveness. Did He deserve what He got? No. He done no wrong. But He didn't send Him in the world just to condemn the world, but He sent Him that we could have life. And that is so wonderful when we think of how God forgave us our sins. We are all unrighteous. We needed God's help. Another scripture says, Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted His raiment and cast lots. This is when Jesus was on the cross. And this is taken from Luke 23, verse 34. And the people had treated Him very bad. It says in one place that he was marred more than any man. But Jesus still forgave them. And we have to remember that he never did any wrong. You know, so often we need forgiveness because we have done wrong. And sometimes, maybe we, even if we don't do wrong, we still need to forgive other people. In Psalms 103, verses 11 and 12, it says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Thinking again of God and what he's done for us. I know I sure needed a lot of forgiveness, and I still do. And God was willing to do that for me. Why shouldn't I do that for my fellow man? It says here that he takes our sins and he removes them as far as the east is from the west. And if you look at that, when you continue to go east, the world is round, you can continue to go east, and you will wind up never getting to the west. So God has taken our sins and removed them far from us. Now we will suffer the consequences if we don't ask for them, but in God's eyes, they're forgiven when we ask forgiveness. So many times we forgive our brother, and we stored. I know I said something about not forgiving, but not forgetting. And we don't totally forget, but so if we're not careful, we as people forgive someone, and we store that sin in a little corner of our lives. And when something else comes up, maybe they do something to us, or they do something else, and that thing will pop back in our mind, and we will hold it against them. Is that forgiveness? Question you might ask yourself. I think even though we don't totally forget always, we need to make sure that we don't bring it back up and rub it in people's faces. I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 18. Start at verse 21 of this chapter and read through the end of the chapter. "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?' Jesus saith unto him, 'I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had commanded not to pay, his Lord commanded, forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. But he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." We see here in the first part, it talks about Peter coming to him and asking him how often should he, if his brother sinned against him, how often should he forgive him? Until seven times? And Jesus said unto him, not seven times, but until 70 times seven. When we think of how many times that forgiveness is that Christ required here, it's a bunch. You know, so often we, if somebody would come to you in the morning and ask forgiveness for something, in the afternoon they would ask forgiveness for the same thing. Maybe the next morning they'd ask forgiveness for the same thing. Pretty soon you say, well, come on. Get a grip. You have to quit doing it. And this is just a few times, but that's the way we are as far as our human selves. We would think that seven times is a lot of times to forgive someone. But the Bible says we must always forgive. We have account here of the servant that came to his Lord. He owed him a large sum of money. And that's who we were when we come to our Lord. We owed a debt that we could not pay. And it was a large debt. And God forgave us. Sometimes our fellow servant comes to us with a very, very small debt. Maybe they did a little something wrong against us, or maybe they talked against us, and we're not willing to forgive them. I think that's what it's saying here. That's a picture of mankind. And we need to keep it in our mind that we had a debt that we could not pay, and God forgave us. It says there in verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So we can see it's very, very important that we forgive others. In Matthew 6, verse 12, it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Part of the Lord's Prayer. Have you forgiven your brother and your sister? Have you done it in a way that you want to be forgiven? Would you like if somebody forgave you like you forgive other people? Something to think about. Here's the truth. You and I cannot have a saving relationship with God that does not affect our relationship with other people. Even people who hurt us, there is nothing that puts out the fire and quenches the work of the Spirit in a believer's life more than unforgiveness. Religious people will do things people can see. Real disciples will focus on forgiveness in private. And it doesn't need to be forgiven that only when other people see it. We need to do it regardless. We need to always forgive our brother. In 1 John 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Think of the forgiveness that God gave for us. Why shouldn't we pass it on to others? One thing we need to remember, that just because we forgive doesn't release that person from their responsibility. But we need to forgive regardless if they come and ask us or not. You know, we need to always forgive. In our mind, we need to have an attitude that we forgive, regardless if they ask us or not to forgive them. I have a little story here that kind of points this out. Says Johnny was a young man who was excited to try out his new slingshot. He and his sister were visiting their grandma, who on her farm for a couple of weeks, and there was no better time to work on his slingshot skills. First, he'd aimed at a row of tin cans he put on the fences, but after about 20 minutes, he only hit one. So he decided to shoot at something else, a bird in the tree, and thankfully he missed that too. As time was passing, he was getting more and more frustrated. It was getting close to dinner time when Grandma called them in to clean up before dinner. But on the way into the house, Johnny decided to try one more time to hit something, and this time it was Grandma's favorite duck. The problem was that this time he hit his mark. The stone hit the duck and killed it instantly, and Johnny panicked. He didn't expect that to happen, so grabbing the duck's limp body, he ran behind the barn and hid it behind a woodpile before going into the house. After dinner, Grandma asked his sister Sally to wash the dishes, but Sally turned to her brother and whispered, "Remember the duck." Apparently, she saw what had happened and was blackmailing Johnny into washing the dishes for her. The next morning, the children were doing their chores when Sally handed her brother the broom, pointed to the back porch, and whispered in his ear, "Remember the duck." All week, Sally blackmailed her brother into doing her chores. Every time she wanted him to do something, all she would have to do is whisper, "Remember the duck." Finally, Johnny couldn't take it anymore. The guilt was bearing down on him, and so he confessed. Excuse me. And so he confessed everything to his grandma. His grandma held him close and cried and said, "Johnny, I know you killed the duck. I was standing at the kitchen window when you did it, and I saw it all. I could see the fear on your face, and I forgave you the moment you did it. I was just wondering how long you were going to live with the guilt before you told me." His grandma is an example of what we should be. We should be willing to forgive someone the moment they treat us wrong. And it's so important to do it, as I brought out, because if we don't forgive, God won't forgive us. Now I think of Sally in this story, his sister. Isn't this so often sometimes the way we want to do as humans? Maybe it's not quite like the story, but we want to almost hold somebody to what they've done, and we want to use it to our advantage, as his sister was doing here. Are you forgiving those around you? Are you willing to forgive and not hold it against them ever anymore? Johnny here lived through a long time of guilt, or a while of guilt. He did a lot of things that he wouldn't have had to do if he would have just confessed right away. We're so often that way as well, that we don't want to ask forgiveness right away, and so we live with it for a time. And it's not a good feeling. Forgiveness happens as past resentments are owned, not disowned, are recognized, not repressed, are released, not retained, and are woven into a new bonding relationship with others. You know, when we forgive our brother or our sister or anybody that has done us any wrong, including people of the world, we can have a relationship with that person that is wonderful. We can go talk to that person with a free conscience, and we can just have them as our friends. We don't need to hold it against them. Yes, maybe they've done wrong, and maybe they haven't asked forgiveness. But think of what Christ did, how he forgave when he was on the cross, and those people didn't ask for forgiveness either. What happens when we don't forgive? Who hasn't been hurt by the actions or words of another? Perhaps a parent constantly criticized you growing up, or a colleague sabotaged a project, or your partner done something you didn't like, Or maybe you had a traumatic experience such as being physically or emotionally abused by someone close to you. These wounds can leave you with lasting feelings of anger and bitterness, even vengeance. But if you don't practice forgiveness, you might be the one who pays most dearly. By embracing forgiveness, you can embrace peace and hope, gratitude and joy. Consider how forgiveness can lead you down the path of physical or emotional and spiritual well-being. Sometimes things happen in our lives that we have no control over. We still need to forgive, even though we can't help the situation at all. Forgiveness means different things to different people. Generally, however, it involves a decision to let go of resentment and thoughts of revenge. The act that hurt or offended you might always be with you, but forgiveness can lessen its grip on you and help free you from the control of the person who harmed you. Forgiveness can even lead to feelings of understanding, empathy, and compassion for the one who hurt you. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting or excusing the harm done to you or making up with the person who caused the harm. Forgiveness brings a kind of peace that helps you go on with life. What are the effects of holding a grudge? If you are unforgiving, you might bring bitterness, you might bring anger, bitterness into every relationship and new experience, becoming so wrapped up in the wrong that you cannot enjoy the present, become depressed or anxious, feel that your life lacks meaning or purpose, or that you're at odds with your spiritual beliefs, lose value and enriching connectedness with others. If you want a miserable life, if you want a life of bitterness, a life of regret, a life that is just really hard to live, choose not to forgive someone. It will gnaw at you and it will work on you until you don't have no peace and until you're just at odds with everybody else around you. And it won't release you until you release the person that has done you wrong. And you know, they may have said something about you that was totally false, but we have to forgive if we want a good life. We also have to forgive if we expect a life in heaven. There was a story of a father that was very harsh. This son seemed he could never please his father. And this is extreme. It was a story I read. They were out one day working in the field, and the boy burned himself on the exhaust on the tractor or whatever it was, and his father would not let him cry. His father, according to the story, it would sound like his father was a very cruel father, one that obviously was not a Christian. One day this father was out, and he had an accident and was killed. And this boy, I don't know the age he was, but he was angry that he could never, that his father died without him seeing his son's success. This boy felt like he could never please his father. So when his father died, it made him angry that he never got to the place that he could please his father. But you know, time went on and he was married, had a son of his own. And the story goes that he treated his son the same way as what his father treated him. And it took a while to figure out what was wrong. Finally, they got through that this son had not forgave his father. And so he was doing the same thing to the others around him. And after that time, if I remember the story right, after they finally got a hold of it and he forgave his son, then he could, or his father, even though he could never ask his father forgiveness, then his life was changed. So just a story of what happens when we won't forgive others. I found a little thing here of some of the benefits of forgiveness. You have healthier relationships, which I believe we all know that. You have improved mental health, less anxiety, stress, and hostility, lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression, a stronger immune system, improved health, improved heart health, improved self-esteem, happiness, joy, peace, contentment, forgiveness brings freedom. So that's some of the benefits that I found on forgiveness. I have a poem I'd like to read in closing. It's called The Jailer. I chose a soul not to release, for he had caused me pain. And yet my soul did not have peace, but wrapped itself in chain. I have the right not to forgive, for this one did me wrong. And by my choice, I too would live and drag this chain along. The chain grew longer every day, the weight I could not bear. And though I tried to pull away, the chain was always there. Yet still I felt it was my right to hold one in this cell. The chain around my heart grew tight in my created jail. Remembering the written word, forgiveness is a choice. I thought forgive, that is absorb, but then I heard a voice. I forgave your past, didn't I? Yes, all your dirty sins. I forgave. If forgiveness you deny, you'll find that no one wins. You've locked a soul within a cell, a jailer you've become, and so you too are in your jail. For you must hold the one that you have chosen to refuse, to set free from his debt, and so in truth you really lose. Because you will not let the debtor go, set this soul free, forgive this person's debt, unlock the cell now with your key, and freedom you will get. That was the day I was set free from my own selfish pride. I threw away my jailer's key and opened the cell wide. For who am I to hold a grudge and not let one go free? For God alone each man will judge, and he can too judge me. I learned to put someone in jail. The jailer stays there too. Forgive and let love be the bail for that soul and for you. Forgiveness really sets one free. Someday it might be you. So jailer, throw away the key and you will be free too. So let's remember to forgive others. Because if we want to be forgiven, we have to forgive. And if we want a life of freedom, we want a life of joy, we want a life of peace, we must forgive others. If we don't, we will have a life of bitterness. Let's kneel for prayer.